Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Today is Thursday, December 14th, and these are the laws of Hanukkah. And we're going to try to cover everything. It's kind of lengthy. We'll try our best. Okay, first of all, we're going to just start from the beginning and just run through as much as we can get done. First of all, when the candles are lit on Hanukkah, there is a custom that women do not do malacha. They don't do work while the candles are lit. It means for the half an hour that they're lit for, that women do not do work. Now, work over here means chores, like laundry or cleaning or things like that. And that's because, anybody know why? That's because the miracle of Hanukkah is based on what a woman did, on what Yehudas did, that she was the one who ended up killing the leader of the Greeks. And that caused the army to lose for its morale to diminish, and they ran away. Now, because of that story, there's another custom on Hanukkah. Anybody know because of that story? The way she killed him was she fed him cheese. She fed him cheese and got Yael served sister's milk. Here, she served him cheese and got him drowsy, and then she was able to kill him. So therefore, there was a custom to eat cheese, to have milk on Hanukkah. And that's for the same reason because of that story. Now, in general, to have a meal, a festive meal on Hanukkah, it doesn't say anywhere that there's a festive meal on Hanukkah. It's not like any other yontif. It's not like Purim where there's a mitzvah to have a meal or any of the other yom tovim. However, because people do get together on Hanukkah and they do have meals, people serve latkes, etc. So the main thing is that if it's being done for the purpose of remembering and thanking Hashem for the nates, for the miracle, then it's a mitzvah. If it's being done just for the sake of being social, then there's no mitzvah involved because there is no requirement to have a meal on Hanukkah. So if people do get together for a meal, it is appropriate to say the very Torah that has to do with Hanukkah or to sing about Hanukkah, and that makes it into a mitzvah. Now, how many candles do you light? So everybody knows, you start on the first day, you light one, and you move up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. However, that is true if you're by yourself. If you have more than one person in the house, then if you want to fulfill the mitzvah at the highest level, then each person in the house lights the amount of candles that it is that night. So if it's the third night of Hanukkah, each person in the house lights 3 candles. However, you don't want to light in a way where it looks like it's all one menorah. So if my son and I are each lighting 3 candles, but we put them near each other, it looks like it's the sixth night of Hanukkah, because there are 6 candles lit. So you have to be careful to light them separately. You see there's 3 here and 3 here, and they're not, then people from the outside won't confuse it as being 6 candles. Everybody in the house can light. It doesn't matter. There's no upper limit. But the ones who are not yet what we call higila chinuch, that they're not at the age where they can be trained properly, which means, what age would you imagine a kid being old enough to be able to light candles properly? I don't know, 6 years old, 7 years old, depends on the kid. Younger than that, they should not make a bracha, because they're not yet higila chinuch, they haven't reached the age of being trained to do mitzvahs. The kids want a light. We have this struggle every year because we don't want the younger kids to be using fire. So we try to do it in a way that they won't, we have the Velcro things they make in playgroup or in kindergarten, and you do that and whatever. But the main thing is that if they're too young, they shouldn't make a bracha. Now, a wife does not have to light, meaning that even to fulfill the mitzvah in its perfect form, a husband and wife are considered one unit. Because we say ishto kegufo, his wife is like him. It's one unit. And therefore, even if there's a husband and wife and 6 older children, so each of the 6 older children light, and the husband and wife light as one unit. So there are 7 menorahs total in the house. If a wife wants the light, then it is permissible to make an 8th menorah and she'll light her own. But it is not, it's certainly not required And in general, husbands and wives do things together, as we know, most things, and that's certainly the Jewish way that a husband and wife do things together. But if a wife wants to light, it is okay for her to light her own menorah. Now, where should you light the menorah? Now, here there's a hierarchy. The best thing to do, which we don't do today because we're living in the diaspora, but the best thing to do is to light outside. To light outside on the opposite side, in your doorway, on the opposite side of the mezuzah. So the mezuzah is on the right side coming into the house. So you would put the menorah on the left side coming into the house. And that's the optimal place to light. But we don't do that today, in most cases. In Eretz Yisrael, there are people that still do that. But living in America, we don't do that. So then you need to light inside. Now, once you're lighting inside, then it works as follows. If you have a window that faces the street, that's the best place to light. If you don't have a window that faces the street, then the best place to light would theoretically be in front of your door. Meaning at the front door, not outside, but inside the front door. That would be the second best inside place to light. If you're not able to do that, it's too dangerous, the kids, whatever it is, that won't work out, then you light on your dining room table. Just so that everybody in the household will see the lights. Now, this is all assuming that your candles are not going to be more than 20 amos high. 20 amos is approximately, it depends how you count an amma, but 30 to 40 feet. If you live in an apartment that is more than 40 feet above the ground, then lighting in the window does not accomplish anything because it's too high off the ground. Chazal say people don't look up for no reason, and therefore your candles in the window won't mean anything to anybody. So if you live that high up off the ground, then there's no reason to light in the window, and then you can just light on your dining room table or in front of your door, whichever one is better for you to do. Now, interestingly, and most people don't know this because we light at the window. That's where most people light, and windows tend to be a certain height off the ground. Really, optimally, the candle should be lower than 10 tefachim, which means lower than 3 feet, which means not the menorah, but where the flame itself should be lower than 3 feet from the ground. Not all the way on the ground, not within 3 tefachim of the ground, which is approximately 10 inches. So it should be above 10 inches, but beneath 3 feet. That would be the best place to put it. Why? Why would that be the best place to put it? Because the whole point of the lighting the candles on Hanukkah is that we're lighting for the sake of the nes, of the miracle. We're not lighting because we need the light. As you know, you're not allowed to use the Hanukkah menorah for your light. That's why we light the shamish next to it, so that in case we use the candles, we won't come to use the Hanukkah candles. If we're going to read, we shouldn't use the light of the Hanukkah candles, we'll use the light of the shamish or the room lights that we have on. So in order to show that these candles, these lights, are not for our benefit, we put them lower, because that's not normally where you would put lights. Normally, if you want to use lights, you put them high up so that they'll shine across the whole room. So therefore, if you're not lighting at a window, or if you have a low window, that's the better place to light. So it's lower down, between 10 inches and about 3 feet. That's the best place to light. If that's not possible, or if your window is higher, you light in the window, and that's okay. But that would theoretically be the better place, the better height to light. There is the minhag is to light in shul. They light in shul between mincha and ma'ariv. Between mincha and ma'ariv, well, it depends when they daven ma'ariv. Here they would light after ma'ariv, I would imagine. But whatever it is, they light in shul with a bracha. Now the halacha is, though, you're not yotzei with the candles in shul. Even the person who's lighting in shul is not yotzei when he goes home. With one exception, and that is the first night when we say Shehachiyanu, the one who lights in shul, when he says Shehachiyanu, he does not repeat Shehachiyanu when he comes home. That's the one exception to that. But other than that one thing with the Shehachiyanu, the candles in shul do not fulfill anybody's mitzvah. That's just to publicize the nes, so everybody knows that it's Hanukkah, which is a good thing. What's the best fuel to use for your candles?
Olive oil.
Olive oil would be the best. That is the best. Not because it's the brightest light, but because since the miracle happened with olive oil, therefore it's best to use olive oil. If you don't have olive oil, or your menorah doesn't accommodate olive oil, whatever the reason is, then wax candles are very good because it's a very nice, steady light. And that's very nice. And in fact, it is considered to be an extra special mitzvah, a hidur mitzvah, to have longer candles. Longer, nicer candles. The nicer the candles, the better the mitzvah. Now, we know we use those colored candles that they sell, which are nice. The only concern with the candles there are, do they last long enough? And we have to talk about the amount of time that the candles have to stay lit. And we'll get to that in a moment. Now, what time should you light the menorah? What time should you light the menorah? Now, I need to ask a question, which is, does Beth Jacob announce when people should light the menorah? Is that generally announced? You don't think so? Okay. So there's really three opinions about when to light the menorah.
Of course.
Of course, right? Okay. Okay. One opinion is at Pesach Kochavim, when three stars come out, which, as I understand, in Atlanta, that's 35 minutes after sunset. So sunset, the week of Hanukkah, ranges, I think, between 5:31 and 5:33. So let's, for argument's sake, say 6:05, 6:06, somewhere in there, between 6:05 and 6:10, that's going to be the time to light according to one opinion. There's another opinion that says 15 minutes earlier than that, 15 minutes before Pesach Kochavim. So let's say, for argument's sake, say 10 to 6. And then there's another opinion that says light at sunset at 5:30, 5:31, etc. Those are the three opinions. So why am I troubling you to know three opinions? Because how long should the candles be lit? They need to light for a half an hour. That's how long they have to be lit. Now, according to the opinion that says that you should light until 6:05, they need to last for a half an hour from 6:05 to 6:35. So therefore, if a person is going to light earlier than that, they should make sure that the candles stay lit long enough to get to 6:35, because according to that opinion, that's the length of time the candles need to be lit. Even though according to the opinion it says you light at 5:30, they only have to stay lit till 6 o'clock, because that's half an hour. But we want to fulfill the various opinions, and therefore you light the general, the baseline custom, I believe, is to light with the first opinion that I said, which is to light at Pesach Kochavim, three stars, which in Atlanta would be 6:06, 6:07, something like that, and have them lit for half an hour after that. That would be the baseline halacha. Some people are machmir, they want to get in more opinions, so they light earlier, but they have to make sure it stays lit longer in order to get in all the opinions. Now, on Friday, and this year we have two Friday night lightings, first night and eighth night. So this is the only time you have such a thing. So with here, you can't light at Pesach Kochavim because Shabbos has already started. And you can't even light at sunset because Shabbos is starting. So you have to light earlier. And in fact, really, you're supposed to light before you light the Shabbos candles. Now, if you can light Shabbos candles 18 minutes before sunset, which is the proper time to light Shabbos candles, you have to light the Hanukkah candles even before that. So if you're going to light a candle, you're going to light Shabbos candles at candle lighting, which this week is 5:12, okay, 5:12 or 5:13, something like that. So then you're going to want to light the Hanukkah candles before that. So you're already back to about 5 o'clock. But you need them to stay lit all the way to 6:35 or 6:36. So that's more than an hour and a half, which is a very long time for them to be lit. So that's why with the Shabbos lighting of Hanukkah, if you have olive oil, you're in good shape. You just pour in a lot of oil and just let it go. And that would be the best thing. If you're lighting with wax candles, then what you want to do is get some real big candles. The recommended thing if you're using wax candles, is to use Shabbos candles, because Shabbos candles last for more than an hour and a half. And that's very good. Use a Shabbos candle, and that's fine. Now, the truth is, even though we said before that when you light one the first night, two the second night, three the third night, etc., through the eighth night, however, you can fulfill your obligation with only one candle every night. One candle every night is enough. So if you don't have enough Shabbos candles, or I remember growing up, the problem was always trying to fit the Shabbos candle into the menorah, which was only made for the small candles. And it's like, you never, so we would like kind of like burn the bottom of it and get it to stick on. But how many candles are you going to patchka with on Friday afternoon? So as long as you've got one Shabbos candle that will last for the hour and a half, you're okay. Best that they all be like that, but you're okay even with just one. That will be sufficient. Even on the eighth night of Hanukkah, next week, one would be enough if you can't get all eight. If you're using oil, then you may as well make them all that long.
But the Shamash doesn't matter, right?
The Shamash doesn't, right, it doesn't matter.
You say you could use a little one for the Shamash.
Yeah, well, so let's explain that. Let's explain why the Shamash doesn't matter. You see, it's like this. If we had no other lights in the house, except for the Hanukkah menorah, then the Shamash would matter. Because it's the same problem. You don't want to use the menorah for your light. But today, we have lights that are on. And if you're not using the Hanukkah menorah, and therefore if the Shamash burns out earlier, it's not such a big deal. It's still nice to have a Shamash that lasts the whole time, but it's not, as we say, le'ikuvah. It doesn't ruin the mitzvah if it doesn't last that long. So that's Shabbos. So it's a little bit complicated, and you got to make sure to start early because, you know, Shabbos creeps up on you so fast, and it's an immovable time. And once Shabbos hits, you're stuck, and you've got to get in the Hanukkah candles and the Shabbos candles. I remember growing up also, we always had the debate, do we sing Ma'oz Tzur when we're lighting on Friday afternoon, but we don't have enough time for it because we got to light the Shabbos candles. So we had a whole, you know, so you just have to make sure to plan accordingly and to leave yourself enough time. Now, the earliest in the day you can light, provided that you let them stay lit all the way to 6:35, the earliest is it's approximately an hour and a quarter before sunset. It's actually a little less than that before sunset. That's the earliest you can light. So sunset is 5:31 or whatever it is. So you're talking approximately 4:15, 4:20, something like that would be the earliest that you could light. But again, you got to make sure it stays lit all the way to 6:35. Now, why would you ever have to light early? Let's say you're going to be busy from 5 o'clock or from a quarter to 5 until 8 o'clock at night or until 9 o'clock at night or until 10 o'clock at night. Let's say, you know, so you won't be able to light. So then you could light as early as 4:15, 4:20, something like that. Don't do it exactly on the button because if you light before that time, you're not yotze. You haven't fulfilled your obligation. You have to light after that time. So if you've lit after that time and there's enough oil to last all the way to 6:35, you're okay. And theoretically, that could come up. Incidentally, the same rule applies to Shabbos candles. If you want to take in Shabbos early, like in the summer, there's an earliest time that you can do it, but you can't do it before that time. So you got to be careful. When they list the time in the flyer of the earliest time for Shabbos candles, they mean that seriously. You can't go earlier than that, then you haven't fulfilled your obligation. So you got to be careful not to do it too early. Now, what about if you can't light in the earlier times? Can you light later in the evening? So the answer to that question is that you can light all night, if need be. You said on Shabbos. That's right. Very good. Good thing you pointed that out. But if it's a weekday, then you can theoretically light into the evening as late as need be. But it's really not preferred. It's only if you really got stuck and you weren't able to light earlier, you can light later. The problem is that when you light so late, if you're by yourself, nobody sees the candles. So it even says, interestingly, if your whole family is asleep and nobody lit and you come home and it's 2 in the morning, you should wake up a couple of people so that you can light with people around. So they're just showing, and just bringing out the point that you really want to make sure to light at a time when people are around. Don't put it off until the middle of the night when everybody's asleep. The main thing is that people see the lights, preferably people outside see the lights, which is why you light earlier in the evening, and if not, at least the people in your family should see the lights. People in the house should see the lights. That's optimal. Now, we mentioned before that you can't use the lights for your own benefit, which means the way it says it in the Gemara, you can't count money in front of the, you know, look at coins in front of the lights. You can't use the lights for reading. You can't do that. The lights are for the mitzvah, and we don't use them. However, let's say there's a power outage. All the lights are out, and your shamash went out. And the only thing you have are the Hanukkah candles. So you don't want to read by them, but you want to get around the room. Like, you know, I want to go. I need to go around the room to go find my flashlight. Well, now I'm walking around the room. What light am I using? I'm using the Hanukkah lights because they're the only ones on. So that's okay. That's not called using the lights. Being able to see, to move around, is not called using the lights. Using lights means using it to read by, to sew by, something like that. When you're doing something specific by the light of these candles, that you shouldn't do. But just to get around the room, that's not a problem. So if the lights go out, you could use the Hanukkah lights for that. That's not a problem. Now, that shamash that we have, the truth is that the best shamash is to use the candle that you lit with. I light my candles, and the one that I lit with, I put down as the shamash. That's the best thing. You could theoretically have a separate candle that you light as the shamash. And that sometimes you do if you have, like, especially with oil, people do that if the shamash is going to be an oil. Yeah, because you can't move around the oil thing. Right, right. Now, preferably, the shamash should be higher than the other lights for two reasons. First of all, it should look like it's one of the regular lights. And second of all, if it's higher, then if you come to use the lights, the higher the light is, that's the one that you'll be using. So preferably, it ought to be higher than the other ones. And it doesn't mean that the menorah is higher. It means that the actual flame is higher. So if you have a way of propping it up higher, that would be the best thing. If not, it's okay. But the best thing would be if it would be higher than the other lights. If the lights go out, you lit the menorah. Yes, go ahead.
Can I back up 1 second? Yeah. Since I started using the oil, and I use the oil also for the shamash, so what is the order when you're lighting? Do you light the shamash first or light up?
Well,
you're using a separate.
Yeah, you should light. You have two choices. Either light the shamash before you say the brachos, or light it last.
Okay, that's what I've been doing before.
Yeah, that's okay. It's just that when you make the brachos, you should light the mitzvah candles and not the shamash candles. Right. If they go out, you lit them, and they were lit, and there was enough oil or enough wax for it to stay lit the whole time. It wasn't in a windy place. They theoretically could have stayed lit the entire half hour. But something happened. They went out in my house. One kid went over and blew them out. You know, something like that. Right? Was that? I'm sorry. That's right. If that happens, according to the letter of the law, you do not have to relight them. Because the lighting of the menorah is what the mitzvah is. As soon as you light, as long as it had the potential of staying lit for half an hour, you have fulfilled your obligation. And therefore, you do not need to relight them if they go out. However, if you want to, it's a nice thing to do, but you don't have to. That's especially relevant with Shabbos, because on Shabbos, you can't relight them, but you still got the mitzvah, even though they went out, because since you lit them and they were set up properly, you still get the mitzvah. If you're lighting your Hanukkah menorah, and this happens all the time, you light candle one, candle two, and then my candle that I'm lighting with goes out before I got to candle three. So the easiest thing to do is simply relight it using candle one or candle two. But that you're not allowed to do. You should not relight it using candle one or candle two. Rather, you should take another match and relight the candle in that way. Because you can't use the kadosh lights, the lights that are used for the mitzvah, to light this light, which is not a mitzvah light. The light I'm using to light with is not a mitzvah light. And therefore, one should not do that. Theoretically, though, you could, and this won't work with oil again, but it would work with wax, if I light candle one and candle two, I could use candle two to light candle three. That I could do, because they're both mitzvah lights. So that I could do. It's usually, you know, you don't want to pick them up because, you've got them stuck in nicely, you don't want to pull them out. But if you have to, you can do that. You can take candle two and light candle three.
Can you take candle one and light candle three?
Well, so candle one you shouldn't use because candle one is the main mitzvah. See, as we said,
you only have to do one. Candle four, you could use two or three.
Right, right. Two and on, you can light one to the other. But candle one has a special status because that's the main one. That's right. Now, that's the only time that you should ever move the candles after they're already lit. The candles should be lit in the place where they're supposed to be, and not lit and then moved. So to take the whole menorah and move it somewhere else, that should not be done. I mean, obviously, if there's a problem, that there's a, God forbid, a fire hazard, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, though, if you plan on lighting and having your menorah here, don't light it here and then move it over. Put it where you're going to plan to have it and then light it. That would be the thing to do. The only time that it's okay to move the candles is if you're taking candle 3 and using it to light candle 4, something like that. That would be okay, and then put it back. The brachos. So the first night there are 3 brachos. You say, Mahadak Ner Shal Chanukah. You say, Sha'asa Nisim Lavoseinu. And you say, Shehachiyanu. And after that, there are 2 brachos. Just Mahadak Ner Shal Chanukah and Sha'asa Nisim. You don't say Shehachiyanu again. And then we sing, most people sing, Haneros Halalu. And then we sing Moos, or different things that we sing. When you make the brachos, you should not light that first candle until you finish all the brachos. So the first night you should finish all 3 brachos before you light, and in subsequent nights you should finish the 2 brachos before you light the first candle. After you finish the brachos that you're reciting, then you light the first candle. Once you light the first candle, if you wish, you can begin to sing whatever you sing, Haneros Halalu, whatever it is. Some have the custom to wait till they light all of them before they begin singing. Some sing as they're lighting. But one should not begin singing until that first one is lit. Because if they do, it would be a break between the bracha and the lighting. And just like we don't, if you make a bracha on eating, you don't talk after you make a bracha before you bite into the food. So too here, you made a bracha on the candle, so light it first, and then you can begin to sing. And that would be, or you can just wait till you finish lighting the whole thing.
So you can do all 3 brachas and then can you light the Shabbos, or then you should have a lit Shabbos in
your hand while you're making the brachas? Then you should have lit in your hand. This is kind of always asking, if you're lighting with one candle and you have a different Shabbos. So she was asking, when do you light that one? Like in an oil menorah, if you have a separate, you're not lighting with it, but it's the Shabbos. Right. So then, what I was explaining before is you either light that before you start the brachos. So that's already lit, then you begin the brachos, because it's not a mitzvah. The shamash is not a mitzvah. Or you complete the whole thing and then light the shamash. Those are your 2 choices.
But you can do that with the candles too, right?
Right, but if the one that you're lighting with should be lit before you start the bracha, so there's no delay. After you finish the bracha, you can begin the mitzvah right away of lighting the candles. Yeah. Any questions? No.
Yeah.
Okay. That's allowed. Now, what order should you light the candles in? So, the first night you put the candle on the right side of the menorah, and you light that candle. On subsequent nights, you add candles moving to the left of the menorah. So on the third night, I have the 3 most right-hand candles of the menorah, that's why I have my candles. But I light the left-hand most one first. So then I'm lighting from left to right. So I'm moving to the right as I light. That's the way to do it. So each night I add a candle further to the left, and that's the candle I start with, and move to the right. Now some have different customs in this. There's actually 2 other valid customs. That's the typical custom that most people do. Yeah?
So now that I understand that about the first candle being the most significant case, you can't light any others, I never knew that before. So then how come, wouldn't it be a break between the bracha and, you know, a chance that you're taking time, you're delaying between getting to the most important candle, because that's the one that could matter.
According to this custom, the one furthest to the left becomes the most important one. And each night, the one that you add,
the newest one
is the main one, uh-huh, according to this custom. Now, if you hear that others have a different custom, there are 2 other valid customs. But this is the one that I think is the most prevalent, which is why that's the one I'm explaining. But there are 2 other valid customs about which way to light, and one of them is actually quite complicated. So I don't want to get us sidetracked with that. But this is the most common, I think the most prevalent custom. Okay. One of the most complicated halachas of Hanukkah is when you travel, or if you're a guest somewhere. That can be somewhat complicated. So it works as follows. You light candles. Okay, let's start this way. here we're all adults and we all live in our own homes. So I'm going to start with that and then I'll move on to situations like dormitories and things like that. But let's start with us here in this room. You light candles in the place, I don't mean in the room, but in the place where you're going to sleep. Which means that if you are you're living at home and you are invited to a friend's house for the fourth night of Hanukkah, you should not light candles at that friend's house. You should light candles at your house because that's where you sleep. That's considered to be your place. Even though you're eating somewhere else, your place is where you sleep. And so even if you're traveling and you're away for part of the evening, but where you sleep is the place where you should light. Now, let's say I slept in Atlanta on the second night of Hanukkah. So I lit the second night of Hanukkah, I lit in Atlanta. And now, on the daytime, between the second night and third night, I'm going to travel to, I don't know, wherever, to Savannah. So now I'm going to sleep the third night in Savannah. So obviously, if I leave Atlanta in the middle of the day, I have to wait till I get to Savannah to light, because I can't light in the middle of the day. But let's say I leave Atlanta, I catch a plane, and my plane leaves at 6 o'clock at night, or 7 o'clock at night, or something like that. So I'm going to sleep in Savannah that night, but I left after the time I could have lit in Atlanta. So where do I light? Do I light in Atlanta because I was still in Atlanta at the time of the lighting? Or do I light in Savannah because that's where I'm going to sleep that night? The answer is you can light in either place in that case. Because since I slept in Atlanta the previous night, and I'm sleeping in Savannah tonight, so I can go either way. Because I'm in between places.
Okay, now what about your wife? Her travel.
Okay, that's the next case. Okay, let's say one spouse travels, and the other spouse is at home. Now what? So the halacha is that you can be yotzi, you can fill your obligation with the spouse that's at home. The spouse that's at home can light on behalf of the spouse that's traveling. This is a very common situation. Many husbands travel for work. Some wives travel for work too. So if in those cases, the husband that is traveling can fulfill his obligation with the wife's lighting, provided, of course, that he knows his wife is lighting. So if that's happening, he can fulfill his obligation that way. Now, does he have to fulfill his obligation that way? No. If he wants, he could fulfill his obligation lighting himself wherever he's going to sleep. He could do that, but in that case, he should have in mind from the beginning of the night, I do not want to fulfill my obligation with my wife, because if his wife lights at 6 o'clock, and he at 7 o'clock says, oh, you know what, I want to light myself. Well, she already lit, and that already counts for him. So if he plans on lighting himself, he should already, before she's going to light, have in mind, I don't want to fulfill my obligation that way, I want to do it myself. But other than that, he could fulfill his obligation with his wife, and that is sufficient.
Could she fulfill her obligation by his lighting in the place?
Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question. It seems that that's better not to do it that way, because she's in the home, and the home is the main place to light. He's in a hotel or whatever it is, and that's not the main place to light. So therefore, it would be better if she lit and he had the option of lighting or not lighting, but she should light regardless. Now, anybody who is what we call a ben bayis, regularly stays at somebody's house, so your own children, or if a person has has domestic help that lives in the home, Jewish domestic help that lives in the home. That person, since they live in the home and they eat with you and they're there the whole time, they're considered part of the family. And therefore, they do not need to light. They can fulfill the obligation with the head of the household, and that will be sufficient. Of course, they can light because, as I said before, the optimal mitzvah is that each person lights. But they could fulfill the obligation with the head of the household, even though they're not related, since they're there regularly. Now, let's take a dormitory situation. So in a dormitory situation, so I was in a dormitory for many years in Baltimore when I went to yeshiva. So since I'm living in the yeshiva, that's where I lived, so I really should light myself. I should light my own. In that case, though, where would I light? Where would I light? In other words, in that case, you have the dormitory where we slept, and you have the dining room where we ate, and the base measures where we learned. Where's the best place to light? So in that case, the best place to light is in the dining room, in the place where you eat. So in other words, you light in the place, meaning in the home that you sleep. But if the home that you sleep has several buildings, and one of them you eat in regularly, and one of them you sleep in regularly, the place that you eat is the main place to light. Now, there can be some very complicated situations with this. For instance, I got married on Hanukkah. My anniversary is the third night of Hanukkah. Now, people came to my wedding, and the wedding, you know, Hanukkah is the wedding is a 5:30 wedding or 5 o'clock or something like that. It's at the time of lighting. Well, people were coming from work and going straight to the wedding. What are they supposed to do? So they can't light at the hall because they're not sleeping at the hall. So it can be somewhat complicated of what to do in those situations. So the people who are local, so when they got home later, they lit, or they lit first and then came to the wedding. It was more complicated for the people who were traveling and got back to, I got married in Baltimore, people traveling back to Philadelphia or to New York, and they got home at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning, so they lit when they got home at 2 or 3 in the morning. Well, if it was just a husband and wife, they didn't have to raise anybody up. Yeah. So that gets somewhat complicated. There also would be a case where you'd want to rely on your spouse lighting at home. And that would help for you also. Because you're not anywhere. At least when you're in a hotel, you have the option of lighting. But if you're traveling, you're actually on the road, what are you supposed to do? You're actually in a car or a plane, so then your spouse lighting for you would be sufficient. The leftover, we have a few more minutes, we can just finish up over here. The leftover oil after you light. So the thing is this, the oil was set aside for a mitzvah. Anytime you set something aside for a mitzvah, you're not supposed to use it for mundane things. So there's two levels here. Let's say I put enough oil or there's enough wax to last for half an hour. And then it goes out in the middle. So as we said, I don't have to relight it. But the leftovers were part of the mitzvah because it was a half an hour's worth of fuel. So that really is set aside for the mitzvah and it should not be used for anything mundane. You can use it the next night for Hanukkah candles, that you can do, but you should not use it for your own use. What happens if that happens on the last night of Hanukkah? There are no more nights of Hanukkah to use them for. So then the halacha is that we don't want you saving them for next year Hanukkah. Because we're afraid you may use it. For you may forget and use it for your mundane matters. So the way it says in the law is you should just light it and let it burn itself out. That way you won't come to using it inappropriately. But that's all for the fuel that was there for the first half hour and ended up not burning because it went out. But let's say I had enough oil to last for 3 hours. And it lasted and it stayed lit for an hour and a half and then it went out. The remaining hour and a half's worth of oil, that already is additional. That's not really for the mitzvah. So here there's a difference of opinion. Some say that it has the same halacha, that it should be just lit and allowed to burn out. Others say that no, it's okay because it was really additional oil. So in that case, you can ask your local Orthodox rabbi. In that case, but I think that you can be lenient in that case and say that it's all right. On Saturday night, Matzah Shabbos. So here, you definitely have to end Shabbos before you light. You obviously can't light before Shabbos is over. And when Shabbos is over, you have to somehow break between Shabbos and weekday so that you can do malacha. So at the very least, you have to say the words, Baruch Hamad Yol Ben Kodesh Lachol. So that you can do work, do malacha. But the question is, should you say Havdalah first or should you light first? And here there are two opinions, and really either way is valid. In shul, you always light the menorah first and then say Havdalah. That's in shul. At home, there are different opinions. And just to understand the opinions, one opinion is you do Havdalah first because it is more common. And the rule generally is that which is more common comes first. The other way to look at it is that Havdalah symbolizes the very end of Shabbos, And we don't want to chase away Shabbos. So even though we already said Baruch Hamad when we Kodesh Tachol, so we can light the menorah, but still we don't want to say Havdalah right away. We'd rather the light saying Havdalah and we do menorah first. So either way is fine, but bear in mind, this has nothing to do with Hanukkah, you're not allowed to eat before you say Havdalah. That's a rule any Shabbos of the year. You can't eat after Shabbos is over before saying Havdalah. So if you're going to light the menorah first, and I know, you know, we like to give treats to our kids that when we light the menorah, but you can't eat it until after the after saying Havdalah. So that should be borne in mind. And one last point, which is that we say Al Hanisim both in davening and in benching over Hanukkah. Anytime you bench or anytime you say you daven, you add Al Hanisim in to the benching or to the Shmona Esrei. No matter what though, if you forgot Al Hanisim, you do not repeat Shmona Esrei and you do not repeat the benching. It does not invalidate the Shmona Esrei or the benching if you leave out Al Hanisim. But it is we do say it every day of Hanukkah. Yeah.
I have another question because you said that was the last
point. This is the last point I have, yeah.
All right. What about blowing out the candles after they burn?
You can do that.
An hour and a half, 2 hours?
You can do that. You can do that, yeah. Yeah, that's fine. You can do that. Especially if you're going to sleep or you're leaving the house, you don't want to leave them on. You can do that.
As they burn the half hour.
Yeah, the requisite amount, then you can blow it up.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.